So, you may want to turn in your Bible to Psalm 16. And remember what we're doing. We're looking at the moment, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry in providing for us a wonderful relationship to God. And Galatians 5:22, the Spirit of God is going to provide the fruit, singular, nine fruits to represent 7 million fruits, to tell us what? The branch a branch attached to the tree. The branch is to enjoy the full life of the tree. God, the Spirit of God's ministry is to help us understand we're to enjoy God's wonderful fullness, love, joy, peace, etc. And it's just going to be, it's God's wonderful life, L-I-F-E, God's wonderful life to be outworked. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, exercise. We looked at love a little bit, and so now the next little word, joy, J-O-Y. So, how do we understand that? And if you really think about it, if I tell women to be joyous this week, think how hard it is to try to figure out how to be joyous. What am I to be joyous about? How am I supposed to exercise joy? When you really think about it, as you go to work, school, and everything else. So, here's David in the Old Testament, remember. And David, sliding all the way down, if I can, in chapter 16, Psalm 16, I should say. And you slide down to the end. And verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me," said David, "the path of life. And in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." It's a wonderful, wonderful outlook, David said. I have a sense of understanding. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, having said that, that's with David on planet Earth. Sliding over to Isaiah chapter 61. And in Isaiah 61, picking up again, remember 61 is telling about God's wonderful coming again to die on the cross and to save us humans. And you go to verse 2, 61 verse 2, and it not only has to do with his death on the cross, but his rule and his reign and his coming. To proclaim, 61 verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint, verse 3, unto them that mourn in Zion. In other words, hang on to that. To give unto them the beauty of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And just picking up, when he comes, he's going to give to Israel in their belief in the kingdom. He's going to give them what they don't have right now and don't have any joy. And they're in it where they are in unbelief. So it's a wonderful, wonderful future. Now, God said, I'm going to turn it around for you. and that which you're missing, I'm going to provide the wonderful relationship to my wonderful person. Future drive more some more. Now here's Isaiah, and now we're going to jump into the kingdom. Over, if I can, in Psalm 65. And in Psalm 65, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For what are you going to do, God? You're going to do something wonderful that us humans don't see it. For behold, I create in new heavens and a new earth. Revelation 21 and 22. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. You're not going to remember anything. When I do the new thing, it'll all be gone. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. The city, the people, it's a wonderful, wonderful time of rejoicing and joy. Verse 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So, God's wonderful, wonderful future for Israel. And he's going to rejoice in all that he's doing. Now, having said that little bit, now jump into the New Testament. And going into the New Testament, all go with me over to the Gospel of John. And chapter 1. And so, now we want to get, I think, a handle on joy. I want to understand how joy actually works itself out. Why joy? Now, the Lord came, remember, to the Jewish people, they yell, crucify him. And you come, so when you come to John chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 9, he was in the world, and the world knew him not, and the world knew him not. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto the Jewish people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now they're not allowing God to be God. So, and in the process of God's wonderful, wonderful grace, so we'll start. The word we're going to look at is the word, go over with me, you'll see the word, John chapter 14. The world is missing out. They just have left God out of the picture. So, John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, in verse 28. In John chapter 28. And you heard how I said unto you, this is John chapter 14, verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Why? Because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. You ought to be very excited and rejoicing is the verb, rejoicing. But they weren't. They weren't rejoicing. No, just think of Isaiah 61, their sorrow. So, and sliding over if I can, while you're still on that thought, John chapter 16. They didn't understand what God was trying to tell them. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing that God was going to die on the cross and be seated at the right hand of God. It was a wonderful. You should have been so excited, but they weren't excited. So, John chapter, get the rest of the mood and the movement in the upper room. John chapter 16, picking up if I can, in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. There's the same verb. And ye shall be sorrowful, and your sorrows shall be turned to joy. There's another word. A woman, when she is in travail, hath her sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Why not? For joy that a man is born into the world. Now the child is born. Now, verse 22. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. There's the verb. And your joy shall be full. And your joy no man taketh from you. You're going to have an awesome, awesome, wonderful time. And by the way, God said, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to give you a little heads up on what's going to happen. So chapter 20. And in chapter 20, picking up, please. And in chapter 20, going, if I can, to verse 20. And you'll catch it. Chapter 20, verse 20. And when he had said, remember, he shows himself to the disciples in the upper room, where they were. And when he had so said, he showed himself unto them, his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, there's your word rejoice, glad, when they saw the Lord. Rejoice, to be glad, to be pleased, to take pleasure, to be glad, to be full of joy. That's the verb, full of joy, to be pleased, profitable, and thus pleased. So here we are looking into God. We got the Old Testament a little bit, that they were looking and the future's coming in the kingdom. In the meantime, in the upper room, crucifixion, they're sorrowful, they don't understand what's happening. The Lord Jesus Christ appears for them after his resurrection, and they rejoice. They exercise a joy. Now, that's the root word, so to be pleased. So, now what are we looking at? We're going to look at the word joy. The word joy, here's the word rejoice. And in the word rejoice, there are six other words that come out like this. It's a plant, as it were. And here's the six more words, all now. And in the midst of them is the word joy, six words. So, and rejoice, and here's joy in the six words. Now, let's look at the words, because, as you'll see, God is pleased with being who he is and doing what he does. Joy. God enjoys being who he is and doing what he does. He was pleased. Hang on to that. Now, so God's doing and being. Here's the plant. Here's rejoicing. Here's joy. Now, I'm going to take these little words that we have, the noun, the verb, and put them like this to give you the flower. The flower. Here's a little bud. I'm going to put the things around it so you can see. Now, in order to catch that, God is pleased with being who he is and what he does. So now, over if I can, please, the word rejoice. Do it one more time so you see it. A couple of times. All right, no harm. No harm. Good time. Over to 1 Thessalonians. And just 1 Thessalonians, as you know, chapter 5. And all we're doing now is looking at the six. We're looking at, here's the verb, rejoicing, and we're going to fill around it to see it in its a little better fullness. So, here's the word again, rejoicing. God said, you should have rejoiced that I was going to see my Father. You will rejoice after my death. Now, so thus in the New Testament, what are they supposed to be doing? Rejoicing. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. There's your verb, present tense, a command. Rejoice. You want to know what the will of God is? To rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord without getting tied up and sidetracked. Verse 17, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. All of this is the will of God. So, rejoice evermore. And do it one more time to lock it in. Chapter 4 of Philippians. And all you're doing is studying the flower and to get the pebble, the leaf, and joy. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So you got that's the root for all that's going to be. This is the main plant. So now to go, all these six words. Go with me over to Romans 6. Romans in chapter 6. God is pleased with who he is and what he does. And in Romans in chapter 6, and you will note, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see the word gift? The word gift, 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 gift. A noun, neuter, a noun. So here's the plant. What's it involved? It involves the free gifting of God. God is gifting. What did he? God gives his son. He gives his son. You should be glad I'm going to my Father. He gives his son. And to what? To give us a unique relationship to God in a most wonderful way. That unique relationship to God. Next word. Over to the Ephesians. Ephesians, if you would. And in chapter 1, and you'll pick up the next word, and you'll see it. And in Ephesians chapter 1, now you know without turning there, in Luke in chapter 1, our Lord, Mary is encouraged. She's going to give birth to the Lord, perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus. And she's going to do so. And she is told that she is privileged. And the word used, verse 29 in that, Mary, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. You are marked. You have a privilege that no other woman ever will have, to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. That, and Jesus says, that doesn't make her special. She just had that special privilege. Now, sliding over, that same word only used twice. Here it is, as you know, Ephesians 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. The word accepted, highly favored, highly graced, graced in God's wonderful, wonderful way, to be accepted in God's awesome, highly favored, yeah. So what have we got? It's a gift, gift, to be highly favored and graced. Now, picking up, I can go a little bit further, over to Colossians. And in Colossians, if I may, Colossians in chapter 3, picking up, if I can, in chapter 3, and you will note, Colossians 3, may I go to, oh no, Colossians chapter 2 first. Colossians chapter 2, and in verse, I'm going to read verse 12. Buried with him by in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in sin, your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, Christ took us, took and paid the price. He died in our place. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and the word having forgiven. 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 That's another leaf surrounding. God, you gave your gift. You gave the privilege of having a unique, highly favored position in your in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, in the process, you've forgiven us all our sin. All our sin. What are we looking at? I want to understand joy. God's wonderful enjoyment of being who he is and doing what he does. Hang on to that. Now, and so chapter 3. And in chapter 3, sliding down, if I can, in verse 13, 3 and 13, forbearing one another and forgiving, there's your little word again, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, forgiven, forgave you, so also do you. You want to keep a clean slate before God. That's what you want to do. You want to be free. Now, so therefore, forgiven, to be wonderfully, wonderfully gifted. That's a gift of being special, a gift of what? Having all the problems that would make a failure in the relationship disappear. They've been forgiven. It's a clean slate. Wow. God did that. Yeah, now, to even see that, that same word, do it again. Over if I can, over to Romans. Romans in chapter 6. And in Romans in chapter 6, no, better forget 6 at the moment. Go over to chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And in verse 32, remember, God has forgiven us. And here in that same word, if I can, freely given us, forgiven. Chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give? Two words. Freely give. Forgiven. To freely give. God forgives us sin. He freely gives. Freely given us all things. So God, it's a wonderful thing, God. So the joy is coming around. God's wonderful care. God's wonderful working. God's wonderful what he does, how he does. He enjoys doing what he does. He's pleased. He's delighted to do what he does. He's delighted to do it. Now, over if we can. Well, you're on that one more time on that one. 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And picking up, if I may. And you'll notice, chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now what's that going to do for us? What is God going to do for us? That we might know the things that are freely given. There's your little word again. Freely given us, because we've been forgiven. The slate wiped clean that God has provided, highly favored gift of eternal life, a unique relationship like we did in John. Back to John and in your mind. Why are you so sad, everybody? I'm going to go to the cross. And then I'm going to go to the Father. Don't you understand? What did David say, Psalm 16? I'm looking to be in your presence, God, to know your joy. I'm looking to know your joy. Our Lord Jesus said, you want to be happy now. I'm going to make it all happen. It's all going to happen. But it isn't going to happen like David. Back in the Old Testament. It's going to be like in the New Testament, because it's a whole different ball game. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, so here's grace, and here's a noun again, undeserved favor, the undeserved favor of God. Different word, all six of them coming together. John chapter 14 again. And in John chapter 14. And you will note, if I can, in chapter 14, may I go, you'll catch it, if I can. Chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God is making all. He's the source of the fruit, which includes love, joy. He's the source. He's going to provide the whole ball of wax. He's going to do the whole thing. But in order to grab it, to see it, that's what we're trying to do. And now, catching that, over my can, over to the Gospel of John 14, the Gospel of John chapter 1, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that happen. John chapter 1, picking up in verse 14. Now this is the word, remember, it's the word, you'll see it, you'll catch it. And the word was made flesh, verse 14, chapter 1, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now, just note that, is the word grace, often. Grace, 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 grace. God's grace. That's another little plant, like in the flower. It surrounds joy. It surrounds it. What does the grace of God, the grace of God, the gift of God, the highly favoredness of God, etc., all coming together. God's wonderful working, because God is love. God is joy. He enjoys being who he is and doing what he does. Now, starting on verse 16, this word, noun feminine, and verse 16, of his fullness have all we received. And then you have the words double, as you know, grace upon grace upon grace, wave after wave, like in the ocean. Every minute, another wave breaks on the seashore, and more grace, more grace. God's constant, endless supply. When you receive him as your Savior, John 1:12, he provides his wonderful presence. In other words, as long as God is present, you have everything. As long as God is present, there's nothing missing. You have the reservoir of heaven, and it never runs out. Okay. It's gone. Now, you have grace for grace. Now back over to Ephesians to see it. Over to Ephesians again. Each word we're looking at, just to remind ourselves. And in the process, Ephesians and chapter 1. And may I pick up in thought, chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse, I'll get a little background to it, verse 4, Ephesians 1, 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ. When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world. When God hadn't even made you, God would make you and me and all of us, because he would die for us. He had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That purpose, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to mark out ahead of time. Mark unto ahead of time to be what? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. There's your word, grace, the unmerited favor of God, the endlessness of God's being God. He delights in being who he is. He delights in doing what he does. Grace, grace. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored, remember we just looked at that one, in the beloved. God has done that. So verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How so? Remember we did forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. His grace, his grace. Providing all the time, everything, all that we need, all that we need. So God, hang on. Now, over if I can, Ephesians chapter 2, picking up please. God, what are you going to do? We're to be encouraged. Chapter 2, and in verse 6, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. What for? That, verse 7, in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God's wonderful, wonderful kindness in his outworking, the outworking of his wonderful, wonderful will. So God's going to do what he does because of his saving grace. He's going to do it. And that's what he's doing. So God, here we are on planet Earth, and you are delighted in what you're doing. You're delighted in how you do it. So God, what are you telling us? I want you to have joy. I want you to have joy. I want you to share with me. We're going to get it. Don't want to go too quick. Ephesians. So God has us seated in wonderful heaven. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be seated where he is. Where his body seated where he is. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, and you will note, going if I can, again, little context, in verse 4, there is chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You got it. That's pretty good. Above all, he's in through all, he's in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, how much? The measure of the measure, the standard, the measure of the gift of Christ. God gave you the standard of the wonderful, wonderful gift. That's what we started with, the gift, another word. God's gift, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, and in chapter 4, picking up in verse 7, Jesus Christ is the gift, the gift, the gift. God, the free gift. And how much gift? All that he is. When you receive him as your Savior, you don't receive, God doesn't give you something. God doesn't give you something, a little bit. God gives you himself in his most wonderful way. And therefore, there is no shortage. The tree is totally going to be at the tree is totally going to give to the branch, everything the tree is. The tree never is less than the tree. It just keeps feeding the branch its wonderful life. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we're to understand God's outworking his wonderful life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what he wants to do. He's delighted. He rejoices. He is pleased to be our God and Savior. And he is pleased to do all that a God and Savior has to do. A God, the God, has to be God, doesn't he? Religion doesn't have to be. But if you're really going to talk about God, God has to be who he is. Otherwise, he's not God. How are you going to enjoy God? How do you enjoy the person? Because they are who they are. The doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. You enjoy them because of who they are. Now, so therefore, as we've been looking, the gift of God. So everyone has the same what? Left side, right side, young, old, whatever. Every saved human being that has received Christ as a Savior has the same God, the same Savior, and the same tree, the same branch, all getting the same thing. All getting the same, have to. They don't look different, not different. But how God in them outworks his wonderful life, that's different. And that's different for many reasons, one of which was we're all different. We're raised different, we think different. And what is the problem? If we could all think the same, it would be, we'd all be right down the line. But we have our different backgrounds, our experiences, what we, our fears, our faults, that which we know, that which we don't know, our problems, our idiosyncrasies. They got them all over the place. They're all different based on your background. And God has to work with that to get you to have one mind and one heart. So God does just that. So now, so God's wonderful working to do what he does. And over to see it, to see that. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Now, verse 13, as you know, till, what are we doing sitting here? Till we all come in the unity, oneness of the truth, the body of truth to be believed, the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete, full man, unto the measure, the standard. There it is, the word measure again from verse 7. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're headed. That's what God's doing, trying to get us. That's why we sit. That's why we say amen, why we try to get the word. We can all give our little thoughts, but that doesn't unite us. Our little thoughts are our thoughts. Our fears, whatever they are, they're us. We got to have God's thoughts. That's what unites us, that we think the same. We think the same. If we don't think the same, we aren't united. We're just normal. We're just normal. God's looking for this wonderful relationship. And what are you going to do? So that's why we study. Remember prayer meeting. Think of prayer meeting. What we do, say pray. We ought to pray. But when push comes to shove, how are you going to pray? No, I need to understand my relationship, our relationship to God, so that what he's saying is in my little head and your little head and your little head. And that's what brings us together, till we understand God's wonderful person, because we aren't God. He is God. So God, we have to let you be God to get to us. But we can't do it unless we're on the same, we need to get on the same page. We need to have the same heart. Say, well, this is how I feel. I'd feel differently. That's the trouble. I don't think that way. That's your trouble. You need to think the same. Like who? Like it says. That's why we're looking at it. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Joy. What's joy mean? Not much. Now, let me keep going. I don't want to get sidetracked anymore. Verse 16 even. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure. There's your standard again. Measure unto every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, the building itself up in love. Now, having said that little bit, so the measure, the standard, Christ is the standard in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So Christ in you, the hope of glory in God's wonderful grace. God makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus in a most wonderful way. And so therefore God, now we did all those words, these five, six of them. Here's the sixth one. Here's the word. Over if I can, please. John 15. Which is the word we're after. And in order to get it, chapter 15. Annual note. There I go. Verse 10, just for a little context. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Now why? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy is to be your joy. You abide in me, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to provide what? To provide the life of God, the fruit, say it that way, to provide the fruit, the life of God, to be able to what? In God's wonderful kindness and grace, to have the love and joy and all that God provides. That's what we have to do. So therefore, in John chapter 5, my joy, now that's how you got the little word out of the word rejoicing. And here are the six words all coming together. God's working. God's outworking of rejoice, which is joy. God's pleased to do what he does, the way he does it, when he does it, how he does it. God's pleased. He's just pleased. What do I need to do? I need to understand that. I don't want to just read joy. I want to understand God's wonderful saving grace in forgiving us, making us highly favored, all these different words that come together. That's what God said, I'm doing that. So God, what do we want? We need to be what? We need to understand joy. You are enjoying. It is a pleasure to you to do what you're doing. And you want us to take pleasure in what I'm doing in your life. Not what you're doing, not what we're doing. Now, we can be very busy religiously up to here. Now, we aren't talking about that. What I'm doing in your life to raise you up, to be, to enjoy what? The branch enjoying the tree, the believing heart enjoying Christ in them, the hope of glory, God perfecting, completing, finishing off his wonderful, wonderful work in your life and mine. So my joy, that your joy might be full, 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 and in the process, I'm not sure we're going to have choir, are we?
Yeah.
We'll. Okay. Okay. Who's going to sing, you and me?
Okay.
I don't know, see? Now, or if we can, at least to get a little of it, John 17, you're right here, it's the easiest thing. You'll see it. In John 17, and in verse 13, now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. God is talking, the perfect humanity talking to God, God's wonderful person, and he said, I want them to have the wonderful benefit. What's the benefit? Of your wonderful grace, your wonderful working, your wonderful forgiveness. I want them to be enjoying what? What you're doing and how you do it. That's what I want you to do, God. I want them to have what joy? God's working in your life. You fall down, the call of your heart knocks. Yep. You had all of that. Yep. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of testing. Count it joy. Learn. Understand what you're doing, what you're looking for. I'm looking for happiness. No. I'm not looking for how things happen. I'm looking for God's wonderful forming us. Think of the Olympics going on in the Olympics, and they train hour by hour, month after month, year after year sometime, to just to invent, to practice, to perfect God. We don't have to perfect. It's been perfected. We're to enjoy the perfection of being saved. Make sense? We aren't going to be saved. We aren't going to be safe. You are. You're already there. You need to enjoy what has been completed. And that's what God's trying to get you to understand. Anyway, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Joy. Joy. My joy. Thank you.